Welcome to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute, divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Danny Yamashiro here. Welcome to The Good Life, encouraging you with inspirational stories to share with family and friends. Why would a native of California who served for 21 years of active duty military service in the United States Marine Corps, in which he concluded his service as an officer, why would he move to New England in 2017? This is the story of Pastor Brian Bethke, a man who planted and pastored churches in California and Massachusetts with experiences encompassing a variety of pastoral and parachurch leadership responsibilities. Like the man in Luke 9:57, Pastor Brian said to Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Hey, we pause here at the beginning of our show as we typically do to remind you the reason we have the Good Life program, well, dear friend, is to It's quite simple. It's to lead you closer and closer to Jesus Christ. For you to know that no matter what you do, where you've been, where you've gone, however bad things might seem to be, hey, there is always hope in Jesus. Yes, in Jesus who loves you so much, dear friend. He died on the cross for your sins. Jesus shed his precious blood on that cross to wash your sins away. He was buried. And 3 days later, he rose again from the grave, 1 Corinthians 15:3-4. Today, the living Christ, who has touched the heart and life of Pastor Brian Bethke, is reaching out to you. Will you turn to Jesus? Will you open your heart to Christ? Will you turn from your way to God's way? In other words, repent and follow the Lord? That's our prayer. And if you know the Lord, hey, I believe you're going to be encouraged today. Pastor Brian Bethke is a graduate of Liberty Baptist Theological Seminary and is currently working on his Doctor of Ministry degree at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary with an emphasis on ministry in New England. He is a Harold J. Ockingay Fellow, a group which focuses on the intersection of faith and culture. Brian has 3 adult children and 1 granddaughter. He's married to Erica. Pastor Brian, welcome to our show.
Well, thanks, Dr. Yanni. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here and just encourage the listeners and just tell what the Lord's done in my life.
Where in California did you grow up?
So I grew up predominantly in Whittier, California, which is a suburb of Los Angeles, but we bounced around quite a bit as a kid. So, you know, we lived in Lakewood, California, which is near Long Beach. We lived in Bellflower for a while, but predominantly I grew up in Whittier, California.
You mentioned Whittier, California. One might think of Whittier College, and President Richard Nixon.
Yeah.
Who influenced you most in your growing up years?
My mom. Yeah, my mom influenced me the most. My mom and dad were married, and by the time I was 4, my mom and dad got divorced. And my father ended up getting remarried and kind of starting a new life with a new wife and a new kids. And my mom was left as a single mother, a nurse, to raise me and my sister. And I just saw my mom. She had 1 pair of clothes, and she would wash them every day, but she made sure that we were like taken care of. We never did without. And my mom has always been my encourager and also my truth teller. So my mom really influenced me and still does. She still does.
Truth teller meaning you can get things, you can sneak things by her.
Yeah, this is, I don't want to go into Marine language here, but I would say you couldn't get anything past her. She would call you out on it in a very loving way. So,
well, thank God for mothers with that kind of almost supernatural perception.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. She still does it too, which is crazy.
How did you become a follower of Christ?
Yeah, and that's a really long journey, and I'll try to, for the sake of our listeners, I didn't grow up in a Christian home, Danny. My biological father was Roman Catholic, and we would go to Catholic Mass, and it was still in Latin. I had no idea what the priest said. I just knew that our family wasn't necessarily as welcome there because of what had happened between my mom and my dad, and I kind of felt this distance. And then my grandparents had a Lutheran influence. So my grandfather was from Denmark and my grandmother was from Brooklyn, but she was Norwegian by heritage. And so there was this Lutheran influence, but no, like, you know, believing faith whatsoever. But I had a sense of God, and I was always attracted to people that had faith and the sense of God. And so when I was about, my mom got remarried to my stepfather, and great man, and who I consider my father, who raised me. But he didn't live, you know, the best life. He had a Pentecostal background, and so he kind of infused a little bit of that, but not a saving faith. He ended up getting into some trouble when I was about 11 years old, ended up going to prison. And so here we go again with, it's me, my mom, and my sister. And while we're there, we're just dealing with some things. And my aunt, my stepfather's sister, said, "You guys need to go to church." So we went to a local Calvary Chapel church. I was put in the youth group. I was about 12 years old. And at least at the time, you know, it's the Jesus movement. And I'm seeing a bunch of, you know, long-haired guys with guitars that are playing kind of like sappy Christian music.
Hippies.
Yeah, and it was really hard for me because I was an athlete. Baseball, football, I mean, typical California kid who, you know, I'm very physical. So I just couldn't resonate with that. But there was this youth pastor named Pastor Carey. Carey was a former firefighter who hunted, who was just a manly man. But every time he talked about Jesus, you could see him getting kind of teary-eyed. And he would just preach the gospel to me. He loved me. He knew the situation I was in. He just went out of his way to just take his time for me. And then at some point, he preached the gospel. And I was like, this is real. This Jesus is real. And so I think it was around 12 or 13, I put my faith and trust in Jesus. And I wish I could say everything's been great since then, but, you know, as we know, that this is a journey. So that's how I came to faith.
You're listening to Pastor Brian Bethke of Middleton Congregational Church. He's there now. He's pastoring there now, but where did it all start? 12, 13 years old, well, a mother who's very perceptive, and a man from Calvary Chapel Church, a fireman, a man's man, who tears up when he speaks about Jesus. Well, Pastor Brian mentions there are things in life that people go through. Tell us, Brian, what circumstances led you to join the Marines?
So I was at a Christian high school. I didn't do too well. Obviously, my dad's in prison. My biological father's out of the picture. And I really had a chip on my shoulder about that. And a lot of my achievement was based off of proving to him, even though he wasn't in the picture, that I was better than him and I didn't need him. And so there was a lot of like stuff in my heart as a teenager. I was good at football, got a scholarship to a local high school for that. And I met a girl and we, you know, we did stuff that teenagers do and ended up wanting to get married. And so I got married right out of high school. I graduated, got married, and I was like, hey, I need a job. She had already had a child from a previous relationship, my older daughter, Gabby. And so we ended up getting married and I jumped. So it was really out of necessity. I wish I could say I had this big idea, like I want to serve my country or whatever. College wasn't an option for me, Danny, because my parents weren't college educated. They were tradespeople. My mom was a licensed vocational nurse. My stepfather was an air conditioning and refrigeration mechanic. I wanted to go to college, and they were like, well, you figure that out. We're not sure what to do. I wanted to get married. I needed a job. And then so what ended up happening was I sold a bunch of stuff so I could go on this trip to Hawaii. And while I was in Hawaii, I met this guy who was a Marine. I was at Hanomo Bay. I was snorkeling. He was swimming out with me. And he says, Brian, what do you want to do with your life? And I said, well, maybe I'll join the Navy or something. He's like, you don't want to join the Navy. You want to join the Marine Corps because it's the best. And I was like, yeah, it's the best. And plus, I thought I'd look pretty good in that dress blue uniform. So I went to the recruiter and said, hey, I like the dress blue uniform. I want to join the Marine Corps. And they lit up like a Christmas tree. And I wish it was like more like I have this, I want to serve the country, but it was really out of necessity. It was really what happened.
I'm eager to find out what was going on inside.
Yeah.
Press in a little bit more. When we come back from our break, let's drill down a bit. Because these are transformative moments. But the transformative moments often come in times when we don't even realize they're happening.
Yeah.
And how our destinies are shaped by going to Hawaii or swimming at Hanauma Bay or encountering somebody at a youth group who plants a seed of the gospel, and our heart opens up and our lives seem to go sideways. My friend, as you're listening to Pastor Brian Bethke today, do you feel like in one way or another your life is going sideways? Mm. That things are happening because of choices that you made that are getting out of control? Well, when we come back from our break, we're going to talk a little bit more. And the thing is, it's not just about finding one answer or a good saying. It's about process. It's about relationship. It's about hearing a man whose heart is opening up before us this very moment and seeing and feeling how the Spirit of God worked through him and may work through you. You can find out more about Pastor Brian Bethke and his church at middleton.org. Again, middleton.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Beneath the barren sky.
Leave it to me. James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you. Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Evangelism can be likened to an exquisite pearl necklace. In order for the necklace to be complete, each pearl is carefully strung on, one at a time. Only after the last pearl is strung will the clasp be attached. Most people are convinced that the apex of evangelism is in being that figurative clasp, leading someone to trust Christ. In reality, there would be no need for a clasp without any pearls being strung. Which is more important, the pearls or the clasp? They all are. Not everyone can be a clasp all the time. But in evangelism, you can always be a precious pearl.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Well, Pastor Brian Bethke is the pastor of Middleton Congregational Church. You can find out more at middleton.org. As a California native, Brian moved to New England in 2017 after retiring from 21 years of active duty military service there with the United States Marine Corps. He concluded his career as an officer, but before our break, he's talking about swimming in Hawaii at Hanama Bay, a beautiful bay. You put on the snorkels and you can actually see the fish swimming right in front of your eyes. A colorful underwater world down there. But Brian Bethke was being prompted by a Marine to join the Marines, and he says, "Oh, okay, I'll do that." Well, Brian, as we're talking about these things, by the way, dear friend, as you listen, if you're tuning in right now, maybe caught the tail end of the last segment, you can get this program in its entirety as a podcast. Just go to drdanny.live. So what was going on inside? We want to press in a little further. In your heart, as you began making the decision to join the Marines.
Yeah, I mean, I was a kid. I was 18 years old. I think what's going on inside is I'm scared. I don't know how I'm going to support this new family that I now have. There's a bit of a chip on my shoulder with not feeling accepted by my father, my biological father, and yet wanting to prove to him that I am better than him and I don't need him. I think there's also a sense in which I at that time, I really felt like I crashed the party when it came to Jesus. I felt like I got in on a technicality. Like, I figured out this Jesus thing, and God was like, "Oh, I got to let you in." And I think, you know, that was very much tied to, you know, my relationship with my biological father.
You talk about your biological father. Someone listening today feels a similar edge. And it wells up inside. There's a mixture of anger and sorrow that wells up within to a level of rage. Was there a sense in you that there was a capacity that you could tap into that in your social environment you realized that some other kids didn't have that well to draw from?
Yeah, I mean, I think I felt it. I think it didn't actually mature or, like, really I could articulate that until really probably until I was in my late 30s. It took me a little while to process through all of that, knowing that there's that you know, we could dip into the well of Christ, that we have the Spirit that's within us. But it's a journey, right? Like, it's a journey, and coming to grips with the fact that I am so beloved by the Heavenly Father in Christ. And when He sees me, He likes what He sees because I'm clothed in Christ. That was not something that I could articulate at the time, even though I wanted it.
So we're talking two sides here.
Yes.
So how did you get from Brian Bethke on the verge of rage to the Brian Bethke who began to know and feel and experience the love of the Father?
Yeah, surrender. It's surrender, Danny. I think that when you are in that space of rage and when you want to, you know, try to prove someone, it's at the very heart of it. Like, you know the pain, and at least you know it. It's a known good, but you're missing out on God's best, which is more of Jesus through the power of His Holy Spirit. And so it's just a matter of surrender. Like, I got to surrender to the Spirit. And I know that's, like, really difficult, but if you want to win, you got to surrender.
So take us on the journey.
Yeah.
Now, there you are. You go to the recruiter. He shines like a bright light, like a Christmas tree, and you're being brought in. What happened over the years of your service that was so formational?
Yeah, so, you know, I jump in, and I'm newly married. I already have a kid, and then we have another kid on the way. And I'm right away, I'm deployed. And I come back, getting ready to have another kid. I get deployed again. This time I'm on a ship in the Mediterranean Ocean. And I was on a ship called the USS Oakhill. It was a smaller ship. I was a Marine Sergeant at the time. And when I was there, there was this chaplain. His name was James Asher. He was a Navy commander, chaplain. He was a Methodist pastor. And for whatever reason, James really took a liking to me. And so I was with the infantry. I was, like, the only married guy. And so anytime we ported somewhere, James needed basically a bodyguard, a Marine bodyguard, and he would choose me. So we would go in Spain, and he'd go visit house churches, and he would say, I want Sergeant Bethke to go with me. We'd go to Israel, and he would be part of these Jewish, Muslim, Christian dialogues. He'd bring me with him. We go to France. We would deal with like inner city orphans. He'd bring me with him. And so we had all these experiences throughout the Mediterranean. I would go with him. And at that time, he's just talking to me about, he's just doing life on life stuff with me. Just, you know, and one day I'm sitting there and we're coming back. We're in Rota, Spain. We're on our way back to the ship. And I go, sir, how do you do what you do? And he goes, well, what do you mean? He goes, well, I said, how do you become like a pastor? He's like, well, it's a calling. And I was like, well, then what? He's like, well, then you usually go to school or something, and, you know, like seminary. And I said, well, that's never going to happen with me because, again, I didn't come from an educated family. The idea of school scared me. But that was the glimpses of maybe the seeds of pastoral ministry, that what James was doing, being on mission and also discipleship at the same time, I couldn't call it those words at the time, but I sensed God in that time, that 6 months with James. So yeah, I wish that, like, then I got back and I decided to, through a whole bunch of, you know, stuff, ended up joining, getting recruited for Force Reconnaissance, Marine Special Operations Command, and went through that whole jump, dive, free fall, cool guy stuff, and then went to Iraq. Still married, have 3 kids at the time, very heavy combat. This is right around the Fallujah time. And I sensed God there. God did a miraculous things there that now I look back and I'm like, I should have died like 1,000 times. I come back and I was pretty broken, Danny. I was really broken. Couldn't tell anyone because I was in special operations. And if you say anything, then you're removed. Marriage wasn't good. And so through some circumstances, found out that my wife had moved on. And so now I have 3 kids, I have a broken marriage. I get selected to be a warrant officer. So my career's taken off, my personal life's taking a tank. It's just tanking. I'm lost. I'm in my late 20s. I have to move back in with my mom and dad. I'm sitting in my old bedroom that I left when I was 18 years old. I'm a Marine officer. And I'm living this pitiful life. Everyone thinks I have it together, but I don't. So I said, I got to go back to church. So I went back to the church that I came to faith in and said, I got to go back.
That Calvary Chapel
church. Yes, so I went back to that Calvary Chapel church. And I was the last guy in the last row who left on the last syllable the pastor said and would kind of work my way out because I was embarrassed to be there. And I didn't want to tell anyone my story. I felt shame over that. And then the Marine Corps said, you know what you need to do? We're going to send you back to Iraq for 13 months. And I went, okay. So I went back. And the way that I'd get serious about my faith, Danny, is I'd buy a new Bible. And so the bigger the Bible that I would buy, the more serious I was about my faith. And so I bought this extra large Life Application Study Bible. I'm in Iraq. I'm like, all right, I'm good. I had like 20 Bibles I never opened. And so I'm sitting there one day as I'm sitting there, this guy named John Baker, he was a pastor's kid, comes up, he sees the Bible, and he says, wow, sir, I didn't even know you were a Christian. My life did not exhume, you know, it didn't show Jesus. And I was mad at John. I was like, in my mind, in my heart, I was like, who does this guy think he is? Didn't he see my giant Bible sitting right there? Of course I'm a Christian. I went back to my little room, looks like little boxes that you stay in. I went back to my little room. I got on my knees and I just felt the grieving of the Spirit and I started bawling my eyes out. This is my surrender moment, Danny. I said, whatever you want, Lord, I'm yours. It's really like, you know, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain, Holy Spirit come, all that stuff. I've cried those snotty tears, you know, this big bad Marine. And I said, Lord, please just help me. And I'm going to tell you, he started bringing men and women in my life in Iraq to start discipling me. I got my first time to preach out in Iraq. I went to the chaplain. I said, hey, do you need help setting up chairs? He said, the Spirit says you need to preach. And I was like, I think you're listening to the wrong Spirit. And
he's like, that.
Yes, I did. And he said, no, you're going to preach. Think about it. So, of course, I preached on the full armor of God. He gave me 20 minutes. I took 90. I asked him how I did. He said, you were very thorough, and I was sweating like crazy. And so that was my big surrender moment, Danny. So,
A moment of surrender, Pastor Brian Bethke. A 90-minute sermon, which was supposed to be 20, but a breakthrough moment nonetheless.
Yeah.
And a very diplomatic pastor who says, hey, that was thorough. Brian, as we go into our next break, I'm thinking about how God, through your years in the Marines, through the opportunities that God gave, even when you were deployed, and then warrant officer, then, well, before that, Force Recon, all these experiences were led, God led you to a point of surrender. Someone today may be at a place where they are coming to that point. They may be weeping. They may be bawling snotty tears. They may not. Their hearts may be just still. And yet they know this is a moment for them. When we come back, let's go a little further. I think we also probably need to spend some time in prayer, too, for someone in that place.
Yeah.
And then to talk about the mission work, the church planting that you did, what God did in California, and how God brought you to New England. You're listening to Pastor Brian Bethke. You can find out more about his ministry at Middleton Congregational Church at middleton.org. More from Pastor Brian Bethke when we come back. Planted and pastored churches in California and Massachusetts, with his experiences encompassing a variety of pastoral responsibilities. He's held leadership roles in several parachurch ministries. That and his experience in leadership with the Marines come to bear to who he is and how God is using him today. The Lord doesn't waste anything in our lives, folks. Stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky. Leave it to me.
On behalf of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, weekdays at 6 p.m. on WEZE, and visiting drdanny.live for more resources. My dear friend, it is because of listeners and donors like you that we are able to spread the message of Jesus' love and bring hope to people like you, your family, and friends. Proverbs 11:25 says, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Will you prayerfully consider donating to Danny Yamashiro Ministries so that we may continue to broadcast the gospel so believers will be built up and non-believers may form a relationship with Jesus Christ? Visit drdanny.live to make a financial contribution today. That's drdanny.live. And thank you again for supporting The Good Life with Dr. Danny. May God richly bless you with The Good Life.
This is Danny Yamashiro. A police officer found a girl crying on the sidewalk one day. "What's wrong?" he asked. "I'm lost," she said. "Do you have your parents' phone number?" he asked. "No," she said. "What about your address?" "No," she began to sob. Suddenly, she stopped and her eyes brightened. "What happened?" the officer asked. "I remember," she said. "There's a church near my house. And at the top of the church, there's a cross. Take me to the cross. Take me to the cross, because when I see the cross, I'll be able to find my way home." My friend, if you feel like you've lost your way, turn to the cross of Jesus Christ, who died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Will you turn to Jesus? Open your heart to Him and find your way home to God.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life
Pastor
today.
Pastor Brian Bethke, well, his passion, you say, well, what's his passion? What's his passion today? His passion is to develop, equip, empower, and release Christ-centered missional disciples to have kingdom impact in all of life. Well, you say, well, how does that happen? Where does that come from? How is that enacted? Well, we'll talk about that in a few moments. You can find out more about Middleton Congregational Church at middleton.org. Pastor Brian, where did you meet your wife, Erica?
So I met my wife, Erica, in that Iraq deployment that I was, you know, the surrender moment. And she was a civilian contractor out there working for a company. She had been in the military for a while, got out, and was doing some satellite communication. And so we met out there. And I like to say that, you know, when she saw me, she had to talk to me. But it was the other way around. I was just drawn to her. And so we met in Iraq.
A pivotal moment, relationally speaking, and in your life journey, in your life journey together,
yeah.
You and Erica. There are what some might describe as incongruous moments where things don't seem to fit as we look back in our past. Some might say, well, I have a spotty past. Things aren't, I'm not going to be so open. Well, you've been very open with us in this time. But someone today looks back and they don't see the dots connecting. And they're wondering, in my heart and life, how could God ever, ever do something in my heart and in my life? Is there even a glimmer of hope? Brian Bethke, what would you say to that dear person?
I would say there's absolutely more than a glimmer. There's a Savior, Jesus. So if you want to know if God's in it with you, it's the person of Christ. God knows exactly what we're going through, and he's actually walked the walk that we have, and he's redeemed us, and we are now, through faith, have resurrected lives in him. And so I would give them hope and say, just because you can't connect the dots doesn't mean that the dots can't be connected. Like, there's always hope because we overcome in Christ. And I also want to tell them, I could totally understand where you're coming from and feel like, I don't get why this all happened. And, you know, I don't know why things happen and why you feel the way you feel or why things, you know, I don't know. I don't know that. I just know we serve a good and gracious God, and he doesn't make garbage.
This could be a moment of intersection.
Yeah.
Where the Lord Jesus Christ comes into the heart and life. Like the pastor, when you were 12, 13 years old.
Yeah.
At Calvary Chapel, and he shares the gospel with you. Maybe someone today needs to hear the gospel and be led to the Lord. If someone were sitting here with us saying, Brian, Danny, how do I come to know God? What would you say, and how would you lead that person?
Yeah, I'd be very explicit, and I would say, let me just lay it out to you, lay out the gospel to you. God created the world, and when he created the world, he said it was good. He said it was very good. But then sin entered in the world. And because God's a holy God, he must punish sin. But he doesn't leave us there. He sends his one and only Son, the eternal Son, who steps out of heaven, lives a perfect and righteous life that you or I could not live. And you know that. And yet he doesn't leave us there, because 3 days later, he's resurrected. He walks out of the grave, and we put our faith and trust in him. We walk out of the grave with him. And the gospel is nothing less than that, but it's more than that, because now he's doing a recreative work where he's placed you. You have a purpose in life. And I want people to understand that this idea of the gospel isn't just, hey, we're going to go and we're these floaty things that are going away. No, it's resurrection. You're a new creation. And I think people are longing for new creation, Danny. And if someone was sitting across from me, I would say, do you long for new creation? Because God wants to give it to you in Christ. He wants to give it to you in Christ. It's a matter of surrendering to Christ.
Even in the workaday world.
Absolutely.
That we live in. So someone says, yes, what's my next step? What do I do? What would you say?
I would say, your next step is to find someone to lead you. It's called discipleship. And that's at a good church. If someone said, I would actually connect them to a good church, someone who I would know, or if it was me, if they were close to me, I'd say, let's go. You can't, the idea of the good life part of this show, the good life is the only way it could be good is through the one who is called good, Jesus. And so I would say that you need to be in community. This Christian life is not a solo journey. It's a journey with other people, and you need to be discipled.
In this moment, when you think of Middleton Congregational Church, what do you feel?
I feel like God has sustained Middleton Congregational Church for almost 300 years. And that's pretty significant, because when I look at the history of this church should have died 1,000 deaths, Danny. But God has sustained this church. Middleton is a community, is a church that has always been in the middle between the Merrimack Valley and the North Shore. And yet it's constantly been sustained. There's a tension there. And I feel like the Lord's saying it's time to embrace the missional charge that he has called us to. And so we really want to be a community hub for mission. And so that's what I'm feeling right now for Middleton Congregational Church.
When you talk about a community hub for mission, the word mission has a neon sign that shines. But you have some mission work in your background as well. Mission work on reservations. Say a bit more of that. And what happened in you as you worked on those reservations?
Yeah, so around 2012, I was serving on just volunteering at the local church. Then I was asked to serve as an outreach director at a Baptist church in Southern California. And so I ended up reaching out to a Native American tribe. And so just started doing some food bank work. So they had a food bank that we would support. We would kind of interact with people. And about a year and a half later, we had a community of faith that started to build up. And then they asked if I would be their pastor. They wanted to plant a church there. So we planted Tribes for Christ Community Church on the La Jolla Indian Reservation in Southern California. And I got to work with the tribal council. And what I felt was I got a glimpse of, one, that part of my job as a pastor, or part of the calling as a pastor, is to engage the public square, that Jesus is Lord over every space. And so doing that was really good. The other thing I got a sense of was for mission was that we have nations and people groups within our own country that are unreached. And so I really felt that, like, I felt like I was in a foreign country, even though I was right down the road from where I lived. Someone who's been to over 35 countries, I felt like I was in a different country. I saw what generational poverty and sin could do, and the spiritual strongholds that were there. Spiritual warfare was very high. It was real. It wasn't just something I read and, you know, in the Bible about, oh, be prepared for spiritual warfare. It was real. So those are probably some of the big things that I came across, Danny.
These experiences from Pastor Brian Bethke well up from within him. That's what life is. When we experience things, something happens inside of us and we change. From a Christian perspective, we see that God has given us these experiences from which to walk through, and we live through them, and God forms and shapes us through that. At Middleton Congregational Church, Pastor Brian Bethke and his leadership, his pastoral staff, and the leaders of the church talk about Christ-centered missional disciples. When we come back from our break, I want him to share what that means. How do you distill the meaning of a Christ-centered missional disciple? And then, hey, he's a father. He's a grandparent. Perhaps he could distill some insights about marriage and parenting to us. I can't wait. Can you? You can hear more from him at middleton.org. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath the barren sky.
Jeremiah 33:3 says, "Call to me, and I will answer you and show you great and unsearchable things you do not know." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a program that was born out of prayer. The Spirit of Christ guides us through prayer, empowers us through prayer, and provides for us through prayer. There are mighty things that the Lord is doing in the Northeast, across the United States, and around the world. Would you like to be a part of God's work through The Good Life with Dr. Danny? Visit drdanny.live. Dr. Danny invites you to join his prayer team. Each month, you will receive a letter updating you on some of the behind-the-scenes developments, prayer requests, along with a devotional that Dr. Danny writes to encourage you in the Lord Jesus Christ. Join the prayer team today and make an eternal difference in people's lives. Visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live.
James 3:13 says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life, by deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom." The Good Life with Dr. Danny is brought to you by generous sponsors. Thank you to Coach Dino Babers and Mrs. Susan Babers, Mr. Edmund Jung and Mrs. May Jung, Mr. Rodney Arias Sr., A1A Electrician, Cedar Assembly of God, and the Thursday Men's Breakfast, Boston. If you, your business, or your church would like to support The Good Life with Dr. Danny, please visit drdanny.live. Join our partnership team. That's drdanny.live. Thank you.
You're listening to The Good Life with Dr. Danny, a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries and Formation Institute. Divisions of Jesus Christ is calling you. Now let's join Dr. Danny and experience the good life today.
Well, this
today.
Is the very essence of what the heart is there at Middleton Congregational Church. Christ-centered missional disciples. That's what their aim is. That's what their programs are set up to do. By the way, you can find out more about Middleton Congregational Church at middleton.org. Pastor Brian Bethke, the senior pastor, is with us today, sharing heart to heart, and it's been an uplifting time, although he has been courageous to talk about tough moments. But hey, tough moments, they relate with us, don't they? Because we all go through those times where we doubt ourselves, we question why we've done what we've done, but he has brought us the hope that is found in Jesus Christ. So, Pastor, Christ-centered missional discipleship. What is that?
Yeah, so Christ-centered, meaning everything we read in Scripture points to Christ, directly or indirectly. It means that Lord Jesus is Lord over everything, not just over some things, but he's Lord over the whole of life. Christ-centered means that Christ is the controlling presence of your life. And so we want to make disciples in which Jesus actually is king of the whole of your life, not just the life on Sunday, but your life Monday through Sunday, your life, what we call our front lines, which is the people, places, spaces, and faces that you come across in your everyday lives. And so Christ is there, like he is king. You submit to king. Your politics are submitted to Christ. Your job and your purpose is submitted to Christ. Everything is submitted to Christ because he is Lord. And so if you really want to be human and you want to live the good life, then you become more like Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we want people to really have that hope of Christ that we read about in Scripture. Christ isn't an additive. He doesn't make you're already good and he makes you better. No, he transforms you into a new creation, and we want you to live out that. Pick up your cross and follow Jesus. And it's not all, you know, puppy dogs, rainbows, and lollipops. It's tough, but yet there's joy in that. So Christ-centered missional or mission disciples that are focused on mission is this life in Christ is a missional life. We're called to make disciples. We're called to reveal the kingdom of God in every place and space. We're not just called to go through the motions. We're not called just to recite some scripture. We're not just called to be huddled up in the four walls of the church. The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity, the reason that we are created is because there was so much love that it overflowed into creation, and we were created. And now as his church, he now sends us, Christ as the head, sends the Holy Spirit to empower us so that that love could now overflow into every place and space and reveal the kingdom and reveal that Jesus is Lord. And so I'm a little like hardcore on this. We're not just kind of making Christianettes. We want to go ahead and we want to make Christ followers.
You are engaging the intersection of faith and culture through the Harold J. Ockingay Fellowship Program at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary. Would you say more about Christ-centeredness in view of the intersection of faith and culture?
Yeah, I mean, Christ is, I don't agree with the Christ versus culture kind of paradigm. You know, we don't have to be against everything. I think that Christ is Lord of everything. And so what does it look like to engage the public square, engage the arts, engage the politics, engage, you know, the government or, bioethics, engage business with a Christ-centered perspective so that we could redeem that area for the glory of Jesus. And so that's where we kind of explore and we talk about that, because the fact is most of us, if let's say you're a super Christian, Dr. Danny, let's say we have people in our congregation, like say someone at Middleton, they're like, I am a super volunteer. All right, you might spend, 4 hours doing church stuff in the walls of the church. Then you sleep and you have other things. But you spend about 110 of the hours of your week on your front line. That's at your business, at whatever you do, you know, being a mom, being a grandparent, you know, being a plumber, whatever it is you do. Are we trying to say that Jesus is not Lord of those things? And he absolutely is. And so we want to equip disciples to see that. And so part of that is we have been called to engage our culture and bring Christ, because we might be the only Christ that people see.
To have a discussion like that with others is a giant step towards facilitating that in our daily lives, in our society. Because it starts in pockets, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And the pockets of our own churches and our own roundtables and our own engagement, points of engagement, family life. A lesson to share about marriage, an insight.
Yeah, I think that I'm still learning every single second of every single day, so I don't, claim to be any expert. I just, for me as a pastor, my first ministry is the ministry of my home and to my wife. And my wife is amazing. My wife, Erica, is amazing. And so as far as I would say, one of the things is, especially I want to speak to maybe men or people like me that are pretty driven, like make sure you don't drive out so far ahead that you forget about your wife. Because I'm an achiever. I want to push. But sometimes that could be me just leading out ahead. And not looking, not bringing my wife with me. And so so make sure you're always looking and make sure you're always caring for your wife. I think a strong marriage, we got to remember marriage, the whole point of marriage, it's an icon of Christ and his church. And so making sure that marital integrity is there is so important.
It is such a pull, isn't it?
Yeah.
When a man is driven to achieve, to provide. I mean, these are not bad things.
No.
In and of themselves, but we might find ourselves looking over our shoulder and saying, what happened? Where is she? What about parenting?
Yeah, I would say that parenting was kind of a blur for me as the kids were younger, because I was deployed so much. I mean, I deployed 5 times as a Marine. And so I closed my eyes, and when I woke up from the Marine Corps thing, it seemed like they were adults. So if you have young kids, I would say don't take it for granted, that time you have with them, because it's very short. Now that they're adults, I think your job as a parent changes. And I'm still in that process right now, but I'm actually really digging it. I love my kids being adults, but it's a lot different being their dad, because they have the option of like not listening and just walking away. And so like it's been cool, but it's been great. So the only advice I would get is there is a big shift. So don't take for granted the time and slow things down a little bit with them. They don't have to have everything. And really focus on the biggest legacy that your kids are. Your kids should be a living epistle of Jesus Christ because you have spent time with them and taught them Christ.
When you looked at your grandchild,
yeah,
describe what happened in your heart.
Man, I knew you were going to go there. So I picked up my granddaughter, Juliet, and I started tearing up like instantly because it was kind of like I could see my daughter, Madison, you know, in her, but I could also see me. And then I thought to myself, one, Lord, you're so good. You're so good. I never thought I would ever be able to see this, and I have. And the other thing was, is all I have to do is love this child. And I felt like the Lord had like unlocked and enlarged my heart in a way that I'd never experienced before. And not even with my kids. So,
with that heart that has been touched and enlarged by the love of God, let's reach out and pray for our listeners and their families. Pastor Brian, would you say a prayer for our dear listener now, please?
Yeah. Yeah, Almighty God, we do lift up the listeners, those that are listening to this program. I pray, Holy Spirit, that whatever way you could apply it to their hearts, Lord, that you would do that. We trust you in that. I do lift up anyone listening that does not know you. I pray that they would be questioning right now. I pray that they would come to know you, Lord Jesus, as the Lord and Savior. I pray for those that perhaps they do know you, but they're discouraged. They feel like they failed again and again and again. Would you remind them that they overcome in you, Lord Jesus Christ? I lift up families to you right now. It is so difficult to be a mom and dad right now and to be grandparents right now in our time. I pray that you would protect their hearts and their minds. May they constantly be fixed on you, Lord Christ, and not waver off the path. I would just pray for supernatural protection over our little ones, over our children right now, Lord, because they are our inheritance, and we want to see them just glorify you in the generations to come. So we just lift them up before your throne of grace, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Brian, thank you for your heart. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your sensitivity and your generosity. Yeah, generosity. As we close today, a lightning round. I'm going to say something here and just respond to me with a phrase from the gut.
Okay.
Harley Road King.
Exhilarating.
Playing bass guitar.
Very difficult.
Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
I love the fight.
He's an adventurer. Adventurer for the Lord. Adventurer for God's kingdom. You've heard, and we've been privileged today to be with Pastor Brian Bethke. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Danny. It was just such a blessing to be on your show.
Caring words from Pastor Brian Bethke, Middleton.org. My friend, hey, God's timing is perfect. And there's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus with someone near you. And hey, if you haven't done so, this may be the perfect moment for you to open your heart to Christ. Go to drdanny.live for more resources and to join our prayer team or partner with us financially. Again, drdanny.live, and I want to thank you in advance. Luke 24:32. Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us, the disciples at the road to Emmaus with Jesus? It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you to Pastor Brian Bethke, Middleton.org. Until next time, along with my producer, David Nasora, creative director, Brian Torres, web designer, Shana Kusumoto, and guest coordinator, Jan Yi, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you as you share the love of Jesus with someone today.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of The Good Life with Dr. Danny. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you and that you may find hope in hearing how God's Word affects people from all walks of life. The Good Life with Dr. Danny is a listener-supported program, and we'd like for you to prayerfully consider becoming a sponsor or donor. To contact Dr. Danny and learn more about the ministry, visit drdanny.live. That's drdanny.live. Be sure to tune in weekdays at 6 p.m. to hear The Good Life with Dr. Danny. Until next time, may God richly bless you with The Good Life.